Well, it's been a joy to be in church tonight. It's been a great day today, and we thank the Lord. As Kyle mentioned, we thank the Lord for the good attendance out on the field, and had a good time there. And just for all those that wonder, all the kids, we had them in the Bible lesson first and get a good lesson and message from the Word of God, and then went out and had a great time and did that. Then after church started raining, but that didn't stop some of them. They kept on sliding, kept on having fun. But we thank God for the way that He's using the two services on the 8:45 service. There was 120 here this morning, and then on the 11 o'clock we had 517, so a total of 637. And we thank God for the great crowd today, and we just are so grateful for what He's doing, and thank God for the chance to be a part of it. So we're back in Galatians, as you might imagine. That's where we've been on Sunday nights, at least when we haven't had a guest or some special emphasis going on. And I want to preach on another section of it, Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, 20, 21. And we're going to just get started in this and trust to be a blessing to us. Last Sunday night, we had that section that God said basically to straighten up, this I say then, and told us to walk in the Spirit. And then in verse number 16, it said, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you didn't walk in the Spirit and you do walk in the flesh, then verse number 19, 20, 21, which is where we'll focus our attention tonight, it highlights that list of those things that we very might could get involved in unless we walk in the Spirit. Verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so I want to preach on that. We see this ugly group of sins here. And as we see them all, we realize that they're right on the tail ends of that passage that I told you, 16, 17, 18, right on the tail end of what God said, walk in the Spirit and you won't do these things. It's not appropriate for us to read these verses in 19, 20, 21 and get scared and say, oh my goodness, I may get involved in all of those and I may get ourselves worried about doing those things. The Bible is very clear. The antidote, if you will, or the preemptive medicine, maybe being more like it, the thing to do to not get in those is walk in the Spirit. And then when you're walking in the Spirit, you say, does that mean I'm going to be perfect from here on? God never, in all throughout Scripture, never teaches sinless perfection unless you're talking about when you get to heaven. Then we'll be sinlessly perfect because sin will be no more. We'll be saved out of the very presence of sin. But up until then, you'll still have that flesh that you're battling with. But when you walk in the Spirit and then you do stumble, you get into something you're not supposed to, the Spirit convicts you and shows you. And if you'll be sensitive to Him and then get your life straightened out and just follow Him at His conviction. Now, that's not the last thing that the Holy Spirit has at His arsenal. He can chasten us. He can call us on home eventually, the Bible teaches, and take a believer on out of here and take him there because you've already done enough damage to his namesake. But he starts off with just that still small voice of conviction. John, don't be doing that. And then when you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Father, bless us now as we get into this passage, and I trust it'll be a blessing, even though it's a negative subject. I pray that, dear Lord, you'd give us a blessing in it as we look in what we're supposed to avoid. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we want to break down this list of bad sins. You say, wow, well, that's quite a passage of Scripture to preach from. Well, as the preacher, you're supposed to preach it all. So the ones you like, the ones you don't like, we're supposed to preach on heaven because it's going to be glorious, but I'm also supposed to preach on hell, and it's going to be horrible. It's going to be eternal separation from the love of God for everybody who rejects Christ. And so as a preacher, you're supposed to preach on both of those. And as a preacher, I was supposed to preach on walking in the Spirit, yes, but I'm also supposed to preach on these sins that we can get involved in. So let's break these things down. Number one, you see these sensual sins that are listed in the first part. We see adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And so as we break it down, most of them, you know what they are, but adultery, untrue to your marriage vows. I've never seen, of course, many of you have been on this earth longer than me. We've never seen the tendency, if you will, or the trend to be completely oblivious to what your marriage vows mean. There was a day in our nation which most everybody, saved, unsaved, churched, unchurched, did not matter. If they made a marriage vow, they kept that marriage vow. And we understand that there are so many folks that aren't even getting married because they think the institution itself is archaic. And then if they do get married, then they certainly don't let that dictate what they're supposed to do or how they're supposed to live in reference to the opposite sex. They just still live how they want. But adultery is listed. The first one here, the Bible says, fornication. That means physical relationships outside of marriage in that time would have included, as it would still now, prostitution and all kinds of other sins of that sensual nature. They're fornication. Uncleanness, these sensual sins that we're listing, impurity, those sins of the flesh, including pornography. If statistics are right, 79 or 81% of men ages 18 to 30 in that range view pornography at least once monthly. That's inside the church, outside the church, unfortunately, across the board. And this uncleanness, this sensual sin that is listed here, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness, or just brutality, just a roughness and things that you're not supposed to be involved in. And so I'm looking at this list, and I say, wow, what a horrible list. But again, it's on the tail end of the Spirit in verse number 18. If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law, you're not walking according to those things, you're not walking in the flesh instead of the Spirit. But if you're walking in the flesh, then you're opening up the door for these sensual sins. But then look in verse number 20, we see the religious sins. Now, remember this, as you go home tonight, Satan wouldn't care if he gets you caught up in all kinds of outward, wicked, physical, ungodly sins that we couldn't even mention in a mixed crowd. Or if it gets you all mixed up in a religious sin where you think you're so much higher and better than everybody else, if your mind gets consumed with superiority and holier than thou and the things that you're better than so-and-so, then he's got the battle won whether he got you this way or got you that way. He doesn't really care. And some people who would never do what's on this side find themselves on this side all of the time. So we want to look at some of the religious sins here. In verse number 20, idolatry. Verse number 20 also, witchcraft, hatred, variance. We see these things, and we know that idolatry, of course, nobody in this room is literally, I don't figure, bowing down to an idol, but all of us have been confronted with the thought that we could have an idol in our lives without having a statue that we bow to. Because if there's anything in our lives that we put above the Lord, then we are in essence making that an idol. That could be our job, our finances, our security, our money, or whatever else. Those things could become an idol in your life and in mine. You say, how does that happen? Well, I can tell you this. It happens when we don't put enough time in with the Lord and honoring Him and worshiping Him and reminding ourselves that it's Him that does everything for us. And then we start varying off into those areas of idolatry. Anything that takes the place of God. And we see next is witchcraft in the original language, which I'm not very good at that. Only read what folks smarter than me have written, but it's the word pharmakeia, and where we get our drugs. And so all of that mixed together to the drug use, but then also the wicked occult tendencies and things where we're chasing after the spiritual, yes, but the not right spiritual. And then we go from that witchcraft to hatred and variance. Hatred is exactly what you'd think it would be, just the enmity, the hatred back and forth. The variances are really this idea of struggling and strife. Eris, I'm told, was the Greek goddess of strife, meaning that back and forth. And those variances, and what a list is given here in that first part of verse number 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. We'll get to the rest of them here in just a little bit. But here we have these religious sins, because I see that these religious, I call them that because many of those things are found quite often in churches. I've just described to you hundreds of churches in the Tri-City area that hatred, that enmity one with another, those variances, those contentions and quarrels. I've heard the last that I ever want to hear about people that talking about in some church where they were somewhere where some faction rose up against the other and said, we want it this way and we want it this way. Now, please, if ever is preached from this pulpit something that's not from true from the Word of God, then you have a duty to go to some of these deacons or go and stand up yourself and say, that's not right. This church has been built upon the Word of God. But unless we're fighting some doctrinal fight or standing for what thus saith the Lord, then shame on all of us if we've got one side that thinks this and one side and they quarrel one against another. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We've got the Holy Spirit that guides us and leads us and comforts us. The same Holy Spirit in them as in you. And we ought to be able to get along in harmony together and not have those variances or that strife, those contentions, those quarrels. But I don't have to ask a poll in here tonight. I know that many of you, if not most of you, have either been in a church like that, you've heard of a church like that, or you've got family that's been in a church like that, where instead of the sweet harmony of the Holy Spirit of God and the sweet harmony of the gospel being proclaimed, instead it's typified or it's explained or it's categorized by strife and hatred and variance and shame on us. The Bible is very clear when we've got something against one another. In Matthew chapter 18, I believe it is, that you go to that brother and you talk to them. If that doesn't work, go find another brother or sister in Christ and take them over there with you and say, listen, we just can't get this resolved. And then, of course, it goes from there and take it to the pastor and the church. My friend, there's plenty of ways in the Scripture, the godly ways, without us getting into variances and strife. And I thank God for the harmony that He's given us right here. I believe, as far as I know, unless somebody slipped in, I believe anybody from this side could go to this side, to up there, to over here, and just talk one to another. Amen. And my friends, that's the way church is supposed to be. So I see these religious sins that are listed. And then, though, at the end of verse number 20 and then on into 21, I see the social sins that are listed here. You may label them differently. It's just some things that I thought of as I was looking through here. After we get to that variances, then we go to emulations there in verse number 20. You say, what's that? Those, again, that's jealousies and rivalries one against another. Emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. All of these social sins, if you will, about how you behave one another. First of all, I said religious sins after the sensual, but the religious. But now these social sins, emulations, are literally rivalries and this competition and jealousy. And social media has ruined most of us, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or one of those other platforms. And I'm not against them. We thank the Lord. We try to use them to push forth the gospel, and that's wonderful. But you know what isn't so wonderful? You see on social media what everybody's doing, and then you look at your pitiful little life and say, wow, that's so much better than mine. But you know what I figured out? Everybody has a good day on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Every pastor, I look at the churches, and I thank God for what He did today. But I went to a meeting for BIMI, a mission agency, and I try to be careful to tell what's going on here at the church, because I don't want to anybody to think that it's what I'm doing, you're doing, somebody over here is doing, somebody out there is doing. It's just what God's doing. Because I want to be careful not to try to rob any glory from the Lord, because it's certainly a work of His. But you know, you look on all these social media platforms, and this church is doing this, and this church is doing this, and how many got saved, and how many were baptized, and how many did this. And I thank the Lord for every report I hear. But then if you're not careful, you start thinking, boy, all of them did better than us. But you know what I realized? Then they won't post for 14 weeks. And then they must line everybody back up to get baptized. And then they baptize 17 again. And then they post. Post, you know, put it on their social media feed. And then say, wow, look at that. And so I like what one pastor said. He said, everybody has a good day on Instagram. And the reason is you just don't put the bad days on there. You can be down the mully grubs. You can hate your husband, and she feels that's all right, because he feels the same way back about you. You can be fighting and cussing and discussing. And then, but when you do finally get a good day there, you say, oh, take a selfie. Look at us, still in love. Said you was at each other's throats yesterday. Now you're all in love. But those, I don't know how I got off on that, except those emulations mean rivalries. I got to do better than him. I got to do better than that person, those jealousies. And my friend, that's about to swallow us right now in our nation. We want to do better than so-and-so. You used to say, well, I keep up with the Joneses about housing and cars and all that. And that's still true. The danger of that, it's only that it's been accelerated because we can tell so much more what the Joneses are doing now. Wrath, the next one, as we look in those emulations. Wrath is just that hot temper. It's not somebody mad. There's somebody hopping mad. That wrath that's there. We see next is that strife. Again, almost like that variances, those contentions or those quarrels. But this strife or these factions or cliques one against another. And my friend, please, please, if you, it doesn't matter what age you are, please be old enough to be over that. Please don't mind who you speak to and who you won't speak to. Shame on us. Doesn't matter whether they make the most money of any of the people you know or they're asking for help for their light bill. It doesn't matter. Amen. Let's just help everybody and be kind to everybody and not have this factions and cliques. Well, they're not really in our group. And sometimes even good people, they will help everybody, but then they'll tell other people about how they helped them and they're still forming that clique or that faction, that group, and say, oh yeah, we reach out to everybody, but you certainly let it be known that everybody you reach out to is not up to the level you are. Can you imagine a holy God who sent the one and only lovely Son of Heaven to come and save us from our sins, and how he must think it looks when one of us small finite beings looks down our long nose at some other finite human being and thinking that we're better than them because our house is twice as big, or our car costs three times as much, or we took a vacation. We didn't go there. We went out of the country. We went somewhere better than that. How foolish it must look to our Heavenly Father when we argue over a couple $100,000 salary. He's paved the streets with gold where we're going to live. And here we are worried that, or not worried, but proud of the fact that I've got a little bit more than you, or envious of the guy that's got a little bit more than me. So we see this strife, these factions, these cliques, and then seditions. Again, it's almost a reiteration of it. It's just the divisions, breaking people up. And then those heresies, it still, of course, we know heresies talking about that doctrine and teaching wrong. But it also, in this context, brings those, that wrong teaching divides us. And I've seen so many as of late that right now are really, really battling about the foreknowledge of God and the sovereignty of God. We serve a sovereign God, but a sovereign God who has a whosoever will may come to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I've never seen so many folks that have gotten proud of their spiritual position or teachings, and they've divided over these things to make their position seem superior to your position. And we see these heresies. Of course, envyings is listed next. If you look back in verse number 21, envyings and then murders. Obviously, we know what these are. I see these social sins. All of these are how we behave one against another. And then I finish up with verse number 21, the personal sins that are left, the last couple, and there's more, just God doesn't give them all to you. He says the drunkenness and the revelings. And obviously we know that drunkenness, and we've had people in my own family that have just literally ruined their life with alcohol. It's never our friend, always tearing us down. Anything that takes control of you, except for the Holy Spirit, anything that takes control of you and gives it some other substance is not a friend of yours. And so the scriptures talk here about this drunkenness and revelings. If I could just talk about this revelings for a while. Literally, that means to revel, to joy, to just bask in luxury. It also means that you just go wild in every imaginable way. in the way you live and the way you physically act toward other people of the same sex, the opposite gender, all the rest, just going wild in all kinds of ways. And that's all combined to say revelings. We don't have to look very hard in our nation to find that we have gone wild and crazy. It's almost as if the more bizarre, the better. It's as if there's a prize for how wicked or how out of the mainstream or how bizarre, how strange, how scratch your head and just scratch your head wicked it is. Say, I don't even understand these things. And we are being bombarded by people that are engaged in revelings. Revel in luxury, revel in wickedness, just to live in such a flamboyantly wrong way. And we rob all the glory from God, because God is a God of order, and He created the world in order. He created man in order, and He made them to name. He had Adam name the animals and to have dominion over it. And God kept all these things in order. And now it's as if Satan is supercharging all of his efforts toward mankind right now to try to get them to go back to disorder. And revelings is one of those ways. And then God ends it up in this passage. He says, and such like, because there's plenty more, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in the past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So later, we'll look at the fruit of the Spirit. You'll see in the next three or four verses, probably do that next Sunday or so, but we'll look at the fruit of the Spirit. Can I just tell you this, that it's an interesting thing that in this passage, look at verse number 19, that what God says these things are. These are the works of what are they, church? Flesh. But then look at verse number 22, which we'll look at later. But look at what number 22. This is the what of the Spirit? Fruit. So we've got this great contrast. What I just listed, all of those bad things. Those are the works of flesh. So, Pastor, they're not my flesh, and I trust that they're not. But all of us can delve into those things. Those are the works of our flesh. Those are what we can conjure up in this old flesh. You didn't get rid of that flesh when you got saved. God gives you the ability. He gives it, and He'll work in you to push that down and be filled with the Spirit. But that flesh is there raging, wanting to get loose in you again. Those are the works of the flesh that I listed. But in verse number 22, you'll see the fruit of the Spirit. And so it really is an either or. It's amazing in verse number 16, he said, walk in the Spirit. And then on the other end of this bookend, we see in verse number 22, it's the fruit of the Spirit. But right there in the middle, God shows you've got doubled up protection on both sides. The Spirit will help you on the beginning. Spirit will help you on the end. But there in the middle, if you're not careful, those works of the flesh will get every single one of us. And it says in verse 21, they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And there's another passage of Scripture where it lists a big list of fleshly sins like that. And it closes by saying, and such were some of you. Before we get looking down our 3-foot-long nose at somebody else that maybe come in the church or doesn't come in the church and think, boy, I'm glad I'm not like you. Let's remember, they're not all that much different. The only thing different is Jesus Christ saved your soul. You're a sinner saved by grace. And now, as Brother Dan sang or somebody sung about, he's forgotten those things because he washed us and cleansed us. So he says that they which do these things should not inherit the kingdom of God. Does that mean that if you're involved in that that strife that you're not saved anymore? That's not the clear teaching of Scripture. Because as I said, all of us can get engaged in that. But that does mean that you're going to live a life, if you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to be conscious and very sensitive to these sins, this emulation, strife, these seditions, these heresies. You're going to be very sensitive to that. And you're going to stop after the Holy Spirit convicts you, because the Holy Spirit is with you and in you and wants to guide you and lead you. So remember this. Just like you and I want to go home to my bed and sleep. I don't go out in the animal pen and sleep there because I'm not an animal. We joke about forever. Folks have joked about, well, he's in the doghouse. I mean, he got kicked out of the house and out there. But we don't typically do that. Far as you kick him, usually, ladies, is to the couch. He can go out there. We don't go out there and live with the animals. Why? Because we're not an animal. And saved people ought not to feel comfortable in the animal pen of the world either. And so if your life is such right now, you claim to be saved, and you're more comfortable in verse 20 and 21 than you ought to be, my friend, it's time for you to get your soul right with the Lord. If all of that list in verse number, number 19, if all of that didn't sound so bad to you, when I read that off, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, if all that didn't sound so bad, you say, well, you know, everybody's got to live and let live, be however they want to be. If that didn't sound so bad to you, then my friend, you either need to get saved or you need to get revived in your heart and you need to get right with the Lord, because those things ought to turn you off completely and ought to say, God, help me not to be like that. I don't need to come looking at somebody and say, well, they need to straighten up and they need to straighten up and they need to straighten up. And what I instead need to do is I read verse number 19, say, Lord, help me to always stay true to my marriage vows. Lord, help me not to be involved in uncleanness. Lord, help me not to be in lasciviousness. Lord, may I never put anything in front of you with idolatry. And Lord, may I never be involved in witchcraft and the things that draw all their power from the underside. Lord, may that hatred never be something that explains me. May variance and emulation and wrath, may those things not be what I'm involved in. My friend, I'm telling you, as it told us in verse number 16, walk in the Spirit. Amen. And then we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So as I leave this evening, I ask you, what are you doing to combat the flesh? Amen. I can tell you this, that what you ought to be doing is daily letting the Word of God get in you. Amen. It's the Word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways, taking heed thereto to the Word of God. And then daily spending time with Him, rehearsing what's going on, praying about the things that need to be taken care of. And prayer and Bible study, it's the same thing that great pastor had preached for all those years here. It's the same message that I give you tonight. Get in the book and let the book get in you. Get on your knees, and literally or figuratively, and talk to Him. Let Him talk to you. And walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Oh, help us, Father. Our churches across this land are in a mess. Our society is in a mess. Lord, that list in verse number 20 and 21, 19, that probably describes America more than it ever has before. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for our wickedness. Lord, we have just flaunted our vagrant disregard for Scripture and your commands. And Lord, forgive us as a nation, I pray. And then, Lord, protect us as a people in this church. Lord, if you've put your finger on someone tonight in these long lists, may they get it right before they leave. Bless us, Father, I pray, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together with us, and as the ladies begin to play, and if God's spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. I know it's not pleasant to come after a service like or message like that, because you don't want people to think, well, it might be in the wall. He must be involved in that. She must be doing. Well, number one, who cares what they think? Number two, they probably won't anyways. My friend, if you're saved in this room, your flesh, the world, and the old wicked one is wanting to rear up in you every night, every day. And the only defense you have is to walk in the Spirit. Are you walking in the Spirit? this evening, you hear all those things that I just said about fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, all those. And you say, I don't know that I'm involved in all those, but I don't also try to avoid necessarily them. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're here tonight, not sure that you're on your way to heaven, would you step out and come? I'm going to ask him to play just another verse. And this is your verse. If you're not sure you're saved, would you step out and come and let Brother Daniel or someone show you how you can know for sure you're saved? He's standing right here in front of the pulpit. Would you step out? He'd be glad to meet with you. The song they're playing is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I believe that with all my heart. It will happen if you turn your eyes upon Jesus. Thank you. You may look this way. What a joy to be in church. Just a couple of things before you leave. They're having a cancer ministry. If you're helping in that ministry down the chapel, just down the hall where the Victory Bible class is on Sundays at 10. And if you're interested in that ministry, I know they'd love to have some more help, and they're just trying to do all they can to get the gospel to people. And then be a blessing to those with cancer as well, and then share the gospel with their family. So if you're interested or you're already involved in that, then meet them down there. And again, Brother Kyle says thank you, and I say thank you for everybody who got involved in Vacation Bible School. Thank you for many of you were involved. You never came on the property, but you prayed and you asked the Lord, and we had a safe night. I was gone for some of those nights, had to be in a meeting and just couldn't change some things, but I talked to Kyle every night, and I said, well, how was it? Was everybody safe? And the Lord kept us safe and protected us, and so thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so thankful to be saved. I'm going to ask Brother Dan to come and lead us for our going home song. I'm on the winning side. It's the first song we sang tonight, maybe just the first verse or in the chorus, and as we go out, may you leave with that on your heart that we are on the winning side. And Brother Dan, would you mind lead us in that? Thank you.
Once I drifted out of sin.